Hello, this is Herb Burns, and welcome to the podcast, Three Men for Thee in a Realm of Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural. We hope to share with you current faith-based topics from authors, community leaders, pastors, and you, the listener, as well. Your hosts for these podcasts are Herb Burns, Jack Bells, and Alan Brown. You can email us with your questions at 3, that's the number 3, MFT at mail.com. Once more, that's 3, MFT at mail.com. We will be posting podcasts bi-weekly and look forward to your comments and questions and hope you will continue to listen to our interviews as we explore topics in the realms of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural. Welcome back to our listeners as we continue this story with Scott and Nancy. We are at the point now where Scott has decided to become a full-time minister in 2013, and he will continue with this incredible story on the route that God has led him to become a pastor to the Chinese Christian community in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. So we're now going to continue to pick up with the conversations with Scott and Nancy.
Finally, we decide 2013, if the church called me to the ministry, we both would resign from our jobs. So we resigned 2013, go full-time to the ministry.
Wow. Yeah. That, if you could tell the emotion that was coming from me, that was such a precious story. I love to hear how Christ, God Himself, our Heavenly Father, as you said, reaches out to everybody. It depends on how we respond to the light. If we respond to the light we're given, He gives us more light. Yes. And then He gives us more light. You kept asking Him to do that very thing. You know, yes. Lord, just one more, touch me one more time. And that is just fabulous.
And He just kept giving you more responsibility, and you were able to handle the responsibility, to grow the responsibility. Then He gave you more responsibility for you to grow in His name.
Yes, amen. Yeah.
What was it like for you, Nancy, during that time, watching Scott growing? I know you were praying for him, of course. I know you were thrilled, first of all, to now have him as a brother in Christ. But what was going on in your mind and all, through all of that?
Actually, when I was praying, I like to pray, but sometimes maybe not the right way. But, you know, I have been asking. And somehow I think the Lord showed us that He's going to do something when Scott turned 55. But at that time, I think because the way he loved Bible, so he should become a Bible scholar or teacher, you know, and that's his dream too. So I've been praying. So when this retired pastor come, we kind of have resentment on it because we know it's hard to pastoring. You know, we heard too many stories. We have too many experience in our own church. And then, but somehow the Lord is didn't let us go, and He keep calling. And the thing that touched my heart is that retired pastor told us, he said, yes, teaching Bible is one thing, but knowing and experience whatever you're supposed to experience as a heart of a pastor, you don't get it. Not by study, you had to go through it with leading a ship or, you know, church to learn all that. So we say, okay, now I think that's pretty good. But, you know, that time we are kind of our lives hunky-dory. You know, we go vacation 2 or 3 times a year. You know, we are in our peak of our secular world, you know, computer, and we enjoy doing that. So to me, it's so struggle because I think when we decide for him to resign, 2/3 of our income go out of somewhere, you know? Yeah. And then I say, okay, I still have my income, so I still feel comfortable. But, you know, when God sent Gideon, he took away all that thing, right? So I was praying, and then I had 3 times I dreamed my purse got lost. You know, woman's purse, almost a whole life in there, you know, even a girl, anything. And I was so panicking. But three times, I find my purse back. I say, okay, Lord, you give me very clear message. I won't depend on myself. You say, your grace is sufficient, and you have shown me. Yeah. So that's why I choose to resign too. And wow. And then when he got called, when he got installed into pastor, you know what? He turned 55. So we say, oh well. So yeah, God just like so faithful. Sometimes yeah. we will have doubt, but I think God is just faithful enough. If you trust him, yes. you will see when you look back how faithful he is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Tell us about your church. You've been at it 6 years now.
Yeah, I've been 6 years, and this church, I accept one short-term advisor, and I am the third pastor of this church. And this church, majority of course is Chinese, and ironically, we both from Taiwan, but majority of our congregation is from mainland China.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a surprise. And we feel in Christ we are one body. There's no talk about the political threat, those. And we're a small church, and about 20 maybe family, and right now it's kids, even a high percentage is kids. So adult is like about 50, the kids are almost 15, and that's pretty much we serve with each other. They totally understand where we're coming from, and they tolerate my weak points, because like I say, I'm more Bible scholar type, and so we have some brother and sister can compensate my weak point.
Yeah. And your services are held at Ardmore Baptist Church. And when do you hold those services?
We run same time with the Ardmore Baptist Church, 9:30 Sunday, 9:30 we have Sunday school. Right now I'm still teaching Sunday school. I teach Sunday school since the first day I came to this church till now. How to find anybody can take my place. So I enjoy teaching Sunday school. After that, we take a break. We're from 9:30 to 10:20 Sunday school, and we take a break. 10:45, then we have Sunday worship. We just run same time with the Ardmore Baptist Church.
Okay. Let me just share this with all of our listeners in Winston-Salem. So if you're listening to our podcast, and you know someone who is Chinese or who is Asian or from Taiwan, let them know about this spiritual opportunity at Ardmore Baptist Church, where they can come and hear Pastor Scott Hsu, teach in a native language. And we just, pray that this ministry will grow and that our listeners will spread the word about Scott's ministry over there at Ardmore Baptist Church. So just wanted to give that little shout out to our listeners to bring them in.
And there's a website that's both in English and in Chinese. I couldn't read the Chinese part. But
the English part is pretty easy. WSCCC.net. Winston-Salem Chinese Christian Church.net. You can Google, you can find it pretty easy. And since last year we make a big change is most of the Chinese church in the United States, the Bible study is Friday night. But American church is Wednesday night. Since last year, Ardmore Church so warmly invited us so we can change our schedule so our kids, our teenagers can join them. So since last year, we switched from Friday night to Wednesday night, so our kids can join their kids. But our adults can have our own Bible study, and after that, we have prayer meeting.
What are your challenges that you have now?
Our challenge is the membership-wise, because demographically, we still very low population in this area. Even though God put us in that location, the ministry is very nice because we have a lot of scholar, mm-hmm. exchange scholar. But now the exchange scholar, they only stay 3 months or 6 months. In the past 6 years, we have some exchange scholar came to our church, accept the Christ. This week baptized, next week went back to China.
That's great though.
Yeah, but the thing is, once some went back, it's very hard to follow up, and it's very hard to grow because the currently political climate is changing, shifting. So they don't even get a chance to attend church or have any fellowship. So that's the challenge we're facing.
The young people, from middle school to the teenagers and all, what kind of challenges do you face with them compared to, I'm sure you hear about the American culture is just not as strong family-wise as the Chinese culture. So tell us a little bit of what's going on with that. Or do you see a changing or breaking away? Or
back in Charlotte, because the membership was bigger, we have more co-worker can work on different age group. But right now it's very hard because my wife has got involved in the children ministry. Mm-hmm. And but because bilingual is a blessing and sometimes it's a burden, because a lot of parents want the kids still very good in the Mandarin, mm-hmm. but they struggle because their friends, classmates, mm-hmm. all speak English, so it's very hard. So even that happened in the church. So that's why even we are a Chinese church, our children ministry, we have to use English. Mm-hmm. But the most adult English is not that well. Mm-hmm. That's why we switch Friday to Wednesday so our kids can join American mm-hmm. the service.
So do you find the children ministering to the parents because of their knowledge of English?
Some is. Mm-hmm. Some is. So
now, help me understand the demographic here. Are most of your attendees or members of your church, were they born here in America, or are they naturalized citizens coming in, or what's the situation?
Adult is an immigrant. The kids born here.
Most of them born here.
Yeah. So just same thing, just like both of our daughter right now is 28 and 30, they born here. Mm-hmm. But for them, it's very hard to adjust in the Chinese church unless the church is member-wise can cover both, must have a Chinese ministry plus a very good English ministry. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, those American-born, we call mm-hmm. American-born Chinese, were lost.
Yeah.
So they eventually have to go to find an American church. Mm-hmm. So then, depend upon the age group, so the whole family will attend two different church. Mm. So that's the challenge we're facing. So, and right now we just try to be faithful, make sure the kids, after they go to the college, they still stay with us. So make sure they've been Bible literal mm-hmm. once and faithful. Then once they go to the college, they won't lost.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this. Since there may be some listeners whose English is not really good, would you like to say something in Chinese to the Chinese community that they might be able to to listen to invite them to your church?
Or? You talked about doing either John 3:16 or the Lord's Prayer.
Okay.
Or whatever you'd like to say to the community.
如果有中国的朋友的话，不论你是从台湾来的，或者是从大陆来的，我们是华人教会，我是华人教会的牧师，我们都很欢迎你们跟我们一同来敬拜神，来认识神，因为神爱世人，甚至将他的独生子赐给他们，叫一切信他的不至灭亡，反得永生。这是约翰福音3:16。I just quoted John 3:16。所以呢，欢迎你们能够来参加我们的敬拜，谢谢。
I have no idea what you said, but I'm sure some of the listeners will know every word you said.
Well, that was precious because we've done that before. I've kind of made it a personal challenge for me. I saw in one of my books one day the John 3:16 in 50 different languages. And of course, I can read English, but I'm looking at, you know, Chinese and Spanish and all these other languages. So we've had some folks that we've interviewed here from Ukraine. So I wanted to hear John 3:16 in Ukrainian. And it was unique. I mean, even though I don't understand, I still get the feeling that you are talking about Scripture. So even though I'm not picking it up, I can still get the feeling. So it's a marvelous thing that we share as brothers and sisters in Christ. Mm-hmm. Although we speak different languages,
of course,
we're still in the same family.
Amen.
So it's a wonderful connection that we have, and I appreciate that. Now, you mentioned that demographically here in Winston-Salem, which we have I'm sure you're familiar with our Chinese ministry, or is it Korean that we have?
It's
at our church. I was trying to think of the name. I thought it was Chinese, but maybe
it's not.
It's not, okay. No. Well, it's Korean
it's
or something.
Koreni.
Koreni. Oh, that's it.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is different. Yeah. That's Southeast Asia. That's in Asia over there, but it's not.
Philippine area. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So every Sunday morning, you know, I see a lot of Asian folks coming into our church. And of course, we say hello and this and that. Yeah. But the cultures are obviously different, just as you've made a big adjustment to our culture since you've been living here now over 30 years, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so quite a while. So now that you've been in the country, you've been through some of our educational system, particularly at the graduate level. How do you feel about the challenges that as a Christian body, as a one body of Christ, because that's what we are. What are we facing in this country? As you see, I know you're aware of the political situation here. So does that come up often, the concern about the decline of American culture? Do you all talk about that very much? Because it's going to affect you.
Of course.
Just like it does everybody else.
Yes. I think that the secularism is the secularism is the key here. When back in Charlotte, when we raise our $2, we make the decision to send them to a Christian school, Northside Baptist Academy. And we didn't attend a church, but we still attend our Chinese church. Then we send them, make a conscious decision so they can stay from the 3K to the high school, to give them more opportunity to build a good foundation. Even though sometimes they were whining about it, but praise God, they both now, even though already graduated from the college and work many years, they both faithfully attended church. That bring a lot of joy to our hearts. Like I said, my younger daughter now is in Los Angeles, and most people would think since she grew up in Chinese church, she would attend a Chinese church, but end up she attend a Korean English church. So most of the member is that age, like late 20, 30, 40, younger family, and have Korean, have American, have some maybe Chinese. Mm. So that's the things our kids' generation will face. Either they get lost, or they have to find the church just fit their age group.
You know, we used to call our kids banana. Outside yellow, inside white, because they, you know, the American culture in their heart. And then they say, we are orange, you know, outside yellow, inside yellow. But that's to see that way. Yes, every culture, I think, have their good and have their bad. And I always talk to my church woman. I told them, I say, when you choose to stay here, then somehow you have to give and take. Sometimes if you want to keep Chinese culture so tightly, because some of them make their kids stay in the worship with the adult, but they totally lost because their language already in English, not really in Chinese. So somehow they are debating so much and they lose the focus, you know. So that's why I told them, give up the Chinese culture, let them learn with all these American kids in American church, let them grow up, unless you decide to take them back to China, then that's a different story. Mm. But what I mean is that, yes, my two daughters now, they don't speak fluent in Chinese. Their Chinese is very bad. Anyway, so I think, but they live in this country, mm-hmm. right? They live in the American way. Mm-hmm. So somehow you have to adapt to it, not just like, you know, but they know they are American Chinese. They still know they are Chinese. So, but totally, I think Christian, as is your qualification, come first. Doesn't mm-hmm. matter what kind of culture. Right. You know, right. That's my take on the culture thing. So.
Mm-hmm. You have grandchildren?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you something about when you came here. So, you know, immigration's an issue that's in the news quite a bit. So when you all came to America, I guess you had special visas to study at the university?
That's right. We, as a student, foreign student, we take a F1 visa. And God bless us, already prepared for us, because Nancy's mom, that time, already get a green card through
the... My uncle.
From her sibling. Mm-hmm. My mom get a green card from my older sister. She's through marriage get a green card, get a citizenship, and apply my mom. So when we graduate from the graduate school, then we both, that time, we get our green card. Mm-hmm. So we completed legal. We came in as a F1 visa. Then when we graduate, we both get our green card, so we can find a job much easier.
Yeah, well, you know, with your skills in computer science and nuclear engineering, I don't think it was difficult for you all to find a job anywhere.
But some company would hold you back because of your status.
But you are citizens.
Yeah, right now we are a citizen. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, because you know in America, even if you want to hire a foreigner, you have to prove that this position has to go to foreigner because no American can do it.
Yeah. Confirm it, yeah.
So that's still tough, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's not like.
So your job search, very limited.
Yeah, but y'all got gold medals in the academic competitions
yeah.
back in Taiwan.
That's right. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
How can we pray for you?
Pray for our ministry and. Just like I think most of the church struggle in this world and a lot of temptation, mm-hmm. especially the next generation, they face more challenge than us because all the whatever in the news, social media, mm-hmm. the whatever they talk about tolerance. Mm-hmm. So there's no absolute right and wrong. Mm-hmm. So legalize this, legalize that. So even though in the pulpits, I try to be political free zone. I not talk about politics in the message, but I try to be staying truthful. Mm-hmm. And so I think we definitely need prayer for our ministry and for our church, especially we facing multiple challenges, because even the adult have to adjust the culture. Mm-hmm. The kids have to adjust the pressure from the parents. They try to be American or try to be a Chinese or halfway. Mm-hmm. So, and even the small church facing, we need a lot of co-worker in different ministry. So, for example, last week, occasionally we have somebody invite American friends. So for me, it's very hard because we don't have an interpretation or translator. So sometimes we have one person just stand by to do a side-by-side translation. Mm-hmm. So that's our struggle. Mm-hmm. That's we definitely need prayer.
Very good.
Well, I think this has been a divine meeting today. I don't know how much Scott knows about Jack, so I'm going to put Jack on the spot here. Mm-hmm. A little bit in terms of, you know, being a seminarian and his knowledge of the Bible. So mm-hmm. I see days down the road later where you two will be in dialogue with Bible questions between one another. Not that I'm trying to plant any thoughts in your mind. Sure. I really am, but I see this as a divine connection here as well.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, Scott. I'm a lot like you, except I'm not a pastor, but I love the Word of God. I have an extensive biblical library that I've built up over the years. I've been to Bible college. I've been to seminary. Mm-hmm. But my primary calling in service to God is through teaching.
Sure.
So I've taught and preached at some mm-hmm. places. But like you, I just can't get enough mm-hmm. of the Word of God. And I just want to know everything that sure. I can possibly know. Yeah. And I know that by now, since you've been studying it so long, mm-hmm. that you have found out that you're not going to be able,
of course,
to master mm-hmm. the Bible. You know, yes. Every time I think I know something, I find out that I really know very, very little bit.
Sure.
I believe, I've stated this in my class, and I believe it with all my heart, mm-hmm. God is an infinite God. His word, he has said, his word is going to stand forever.
Amen.
Therefore, it's an infinite word. Mm-hmm. In my humble opinion, I can't give you a chapter and verse on this, mm-hmm. but in my humble opinion, I believe we're going to still be studying the word of God mm-hmm. throughout eternity. It's going to stand mm-hmm. forever. So I have a deep love of it. I see that you do. So I see that we have a connection there right off the bat.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for inviting us.
Okay, it's certainly been our pleasure, Scott. And we do pray that your ministry will grow, that you'll see many souls mm-hmm. come to Christ.
Amen.
Of course, in your own culture, mm-hmm. you're the Chinese, they're primarily mm-hmm. your primary thrust. But in the children that are coming up as mm-hmm. Americans,
sure.
with Chinese heritage, mm-hmm. as you pointed out, and mm-hmm. sometimes I don't think about this. I've mm-hmm. kind of forgotten that, hey, they think and feel like they're Americans, mm-hmm. even though mm-hmm. their parents came from another country.
Yes.
So there is that situation there that has to be dealt with culturally, especially when it comes mm-hmm. to talking about Christ. Mm-hmm. So thank you for sharing that with us today. And God bless you and your precious, lovely wife, Nancy, as you go forward in his service.
And we will be praying for you.
Sure. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Did you know that the ancient prophet Job once asked the question, "If a man dies, shall he live again?" The one book that gives us the correct answer to this age-old and perplexing question is the Bible. Within its pages, we find out that we die because we have all sinned against the God of the Bible by breaking His Ten Commandments. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death,
but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. We all have to admit at some time, someplace, we have all broken God's law, and so now you know why we die. So what about Job's question? Is there indeed life after death? The Bible again answers this question that we all wonder about. The answer is unequivocally yes. However, the Bible also solemnly warns in Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." So to summarize, we know that we all are sinners, we all die, there is life after death, and there is a judgment that awaits all of us. Fortunately, God made a way for us to prepare for this judgment. It's clear from Scripture that we can't do anything to save ourselves. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." Acts 8:20 says, "But Peter said to him, 'Your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money.'" No amount of money or good works of any kind are going to help us. So what can we do? Again, the Scripture is clear as to what we must do. First, we must repent. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." Simply put, this means to be willing to change your mind about who Jesus is. Jesus was not just a great teacher, a good person, or a prophet. The Scripture tells us he was God in the flesh. John 1:1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word referred to here is Jesus himself. Second, after we repent, then we are to receive. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." Acts 16:31, "So they said, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.'" And so we close this podcast with this invitation. Christ says in Revelation 3:20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be wool." If you would like further information on becoming a Christian, or perhaps you have a question about the Bible or anything that's on your mind, please contact us at 3mft@mail.com. Thanks again for listening, and join us next time for another podcast in the realm of politics, prophecy, and the supernatural.